trend of thought is the trend of thought of anti-Semitism in the modern world, beginning with Rousseau, with the other men of the Voltaire, the other men of the French Revolution, all of whom were secularist, all of whom were anti-clericalist, all of whom were terribly anti-Christian. In the French Revolution, the church was the victim of the same type of persecution that it itself had handed out to others. But even as late as the Spanish Civil War in 1936, you had terrible excesses against the church. Churches were burned, monasteries destroyed, convents destroyed, nuns raped, church books burned, all in the name of progress, all in the name of the New World. And therefore, this type of secular anti-Semitism, which knows no limits and is based not upon religious belief, but upon ideas of race, ideas of genetics, ideas of economics, is far more virulent and far more dangerous, simply because it has no limits. Famous English nobleman who voted against the admission of Lord Rothschild to the British House of Lords because he would not take a Christian oath said, "It is not because of his peculiar religion, it is because of his peculiar nose." The anti-Semitism of the 18th century, 19th century, and especially our century is because of our nose. And that opens possibilities that never were dreamt of before. Now, we can look back in our magnificent hindsight and say, well, it's obvious that's what happened. But the Jews in the middle and the end of the 18th century, who were bursting forth from the ghettos, who for the first time had a chance, at least economically, or felt they had a chance economically and socially, to escape the persecutions of the old type of anti-Semitism, did not see it at all. And they were convinced, absolutely convinced, that the solution to the Jewish problem lay in the abandonment of the Jewish religion, in the establishment of liberalism and humanism, secular humanism, in loyalty and assimilation to the society in which they lived. And therefore, German Jews, after the death of Mendelssohn, already called themselves Germans of the Mosaic persuasion. They did not identify themselves as Jews. And they said that they had much more in common with their German Christian brethren than they did with their co-religionists in Eastern Europe. And that idea, which fostered the growth of the Reform movement, would not fall apart until our time. Once the idea fell apart, it doesn't mean that the movement falls apart. If anyone here has ever had the good fortune to be at a chicken slaughtering house, you will see that there are plenty of chickens that are running around without a head, literally, for a certain period of time, till they realize that they're dead. Well, the same thing is true in history. There are movements, there are organizations that are dead, but they keep on running around for a while until one day they just collapse and they're no longer there. The Reform Judaism, the Reform movement that we see today, it's far, far different from the original Reform movement. And let me discuss with you, therefore, some of the basic ideas that Reform put into motion. Number one, Reform Judaism originally is really the product of a man by the name of Abraham Geiger. The counter is not named after him.